Welcome to worship this morning. From Revelations 22, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life come. Come, now is the time to worship. Why don't you greet some folks around you and say welcome to worship this morning.
Should be familiar, but the words I felt were really appropriate for Larry's talk this morning. So I hope as you're singing this, you're not just getting the tune, but you're also paying attention to what we're singing. So please join us.
Show.
Thank you. You may be seated.
I think, children, you can be dismissed, follow the flag. If you're probably a regular attender here, you know what to do. If not, go find the kids. Look at that beautiful colored. Look at that. You know, I think along the road, as they were waving palm branches, I know the children were there too, you know, and it's so fun to see. Well, we come to the time in our service where we come before the Lord and recognize that we haven't always lived so that people know that we're Christians by our love. Even in this week past, we probably have had opportunities to forget to do some of the things that we're called to do so that they know that we're Christians by our love. And we've probably also done some things that people might say, well, if that's what a Christian is, I don't know that I want to have too much of that sauce, you know. We've all done that, even already this morning. We cannot love God perfectly, but thank you. What he says to us is, this is the message that we've heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not live out the truth. But, one of my favorite words in Scripture, Paul writes, he says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sins. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let's take a moment now to go before a holy God and thank him for that great grace that purifies us. Lord, hear our prayers as we pour out our hearts before you. Thank you for your bright, holy light that shines even into the dark corners of our lives and shows us those areas that are still in need of your presence and your grace. Forgive us. Renew us, restore us. Thank you for the gift of Christ, which has blotted out our sins, not just the ones we have committed, but the ones we will commit. And through him, we have peace with you. Receive the forgiveness that comes from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So, last week, if you were here, some of you weren't with good reason. Some of you were on mission trips. Some of you were enjoying family time. I did a first part of a message that we're calling the vertical and horizontal dimensions of faith. Okay, so we're not clicking here, folks. So give me the next slide. And the scripture that we used was 1 John 4, 7 through 21. And I would ask you to stand as we share the words from God's word together from 1 John 4, 7 through 21. I learned last week that there are multiple translations of the NIV, and I apologize for the one I was reading was not the one on the screen. So I will read from the screen this morning, and we'll all be in sync together. The Apostle John writes, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world," go to the next slide, "that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. And this is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. And this is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister." So ends the reading of God's word. You may be seated. I love how Eugene Peterson puts that last verse from the message. He says, "If anyone boasts, 'I love God,' and goes right on hating his brother or sister, thinking nothing of it, he's a liar. If he won't love the person he can see, how can he love the God he can't see? The command we have from Christ is blunt." I like that. Loving God includes loving people. You've got to love both. We'll try this again. There we go. There's my beautiful family, for those of you that weren't here last week and didn't have a chance to see this. Some of you may know, I was a 27-year-old bachelor, and I married a woman who had 3 children. And I became an instant dad at the age of 27, learning things I had no idea that I was going to learn, but experiencing blessings beyond what I think I ever would have known had I not followed God's leading to come to Pella, Iowa, and marry Cheryl and have this beautiful family. And so now we have 3 grown adult children and 8 grandchildren, and they all live close by us, so what a blessing that is as well. So, a little bit of recap from last week. We talked about this idea that our faith has both a vertical dimension and a horizontal dimension. And we thought about the cross as being a representation of that truth, that there's a vertical relationship that we have with God, And it primarily focuses on prayer and meditation and worship. It's our relationship to God where we perhaps look upward, raise our hands. We're aware of God's fullness, his holiness, and he then relates back to us vertically. We talked about how that is primary, but it's not enough. And just as the cross has two dimensions, our faith has two dimensions. We talked about the vertical being primary, being important. The scriptures say, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Seek first. And we talked about how, as Reformed people, we have a strong belief in the sovereignty of God. If I think that I'm going to be effective on the horizontal dimension without getting the vertical dimension correct, I'm going to be mistaken. And so we talked about that it was primary. We talked about that the scriptures begin in the beginning, what? God. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, it's all about God. Our faith is not first and foremost about us. It's first and foremost about God. God acts on our behalf to bring us to faith. But then we respond back to him. And our love, the love that we have for one another on that horizontal plane, is because he first loved us. You see, when I understand that the kind of love that I need to give you and extend out into the world is the kind of love that he gave me because he first loved me. Because he looked at me and still decided that I was worth his precious son's blood. Then I recognize it wasn't my own worth that caused him to love me, but he loved me anyway. And now I have the opportunity to love that way horizontally. We talked about how Jesus gave a very simple command. When asked by the Pharisees and the scribes, well, Jesus, tell us what's the most important commandment. Remember what he said? Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love God. And he said the second is like unto it. Love your brother as yourself. Comes down to four simple words. Love God, and love people. But the question is, what kind of love, and how do we integrate that, and how does it work into our faith? The horizontal faith dimension, it's about living out our vertical discoveries. The horizontal is about understanding this God who loves me unconditionally, who gave his son for me, who, despite the times when I am not loving to him, he still loves me. And as we discover that, as that becomes real in our life, it just bubbles out horizontally. To our family, to our coworkers. Some of you were just on a mission trip to Honduras. Raise your hand if you were on that trip. Some of you aren't back yet, I understand. Some are sleeping. But that's what you did, wasn't it? When you were on that trip, you took your experience of God, your vertical experience, your love for God, and you went and served, and you poured out that which had been poured in. And so horizontal faith is about living out our vertical discoveries. As it says here, you cannot say you love God and not love your brother. And we'll talk more about that as we go on this morning, but the scriptures are really clear, like it says in the message, it's blunt. You see, if I think that I can say, oh, I love God with all my heart, I go to church every Sunday, midweek service, and pray every morning and pray every night, and I love God with all my heart. But if you don't love your brother and sister, what the scriptures say is, no, you don't love God. Sorry. Sorry. And it also says the opposite. It says, if you can't love your brother and sister, then you don't love God. You see, so it's kind of it's a constant movement and flow that God wants us to grasp and understand. I tried this. My PowerPoint skills, even though I work for the company, are not perfect, but the idea here is, as we have been loved by God, we must now love others in the church and in the world. And we see this in a lot of different ways, not only just in the cross. Just as we have been vertically touched by God, so we must now touch others horizontally. As we have been loved by God, we must now love others. If you think about the Heidelberg Catechism that many of us know because of our upbringing in the Christian Reformed Church, the Heidelberg Catechism, called the jewel of theology, it's loved all around the world except in North America because we get bored with it. But it boils down to this idea of guilt, grace, and gratitude. It boils down to the movement from sin to salvation to service. And that's the idea, this movement is what our faith needs to have in order to be genuine, in order to be mature, in order to grow. It has to have this movement. So it's not enough to just be vertical. It's not enough just to be horizontal, but this idea of movement. And we see this again, as I shared last week from an article in the Christian Reformed Contemporary Testimony. Here it is again later on, that we're joining the mission of God. The church is sent with the gospel of the kingdom to call everyone to know and follow Christ and to proclaim to all the assurance. And then the Spirit calls all members to embrace God's mission. It goes on to say, to feed the hungry, to bring water to the thirsty, to welcome the stranger, to clothe the naked, to care for the sick, and free the prisoner. Our text calls us again and again to this idea that we cannot love people without first being transformed by a loving God. But then we cannot love God without loving and serving the people he created. Now, I had this work out for me this week. I work with a guy that's a purchasing guy, and he pretty much is the gatekeeper of all of my business dealings with one company. And I've got deals that I want to close. And he's just not a really nice guy. And he, when it comes to contracts, he will send something back if a comma isn't in the right place. And he'll say, sorry, can't get that done this month. I'll say, what do you mean this month? All we got to do is change a comma. Let's get it done, you know, this afternoon. And I was getting pretty angry with him. And how many of you know if you teach something, God will help you learn it? And I was going off with one of my colleagues. And I said, oh, if I love God, I have to love this guy. Oh, I see what you're saying now, God. So I got a chance to be reminded. And I wrote a whole different kind of email back to him than what I was planning on. We cannot love God without loving and serving the people that he created. Do you know you're never going to meet someone that God didn't create? And even if they're hard to love, God says, well, I still love you. Why don't you figure out how to love them? Because that's how you show me that you love me. We also have this idea in the scriptures where the church fathers, the Paul, the apostle, John, Peter, this idea of one another is all throughout the New Testament scriptures. The idea of that we are to love one another, serve one another, honor one another, and every one of those are prefaced with the idea that because that's what God does with us, the vertical, now we got to live out the horizontal. Over 100 times in the New Testament, 47 of those are instructions to the church, and 60% of them come from Paul. The idea of one another is not two words in the Greek. It's one word. It's kind of this unique word that basically says it goes both ways. You've got to learn to love one another. And about a third of those are about unity, being unified. Another third is about love, about loving one another, instructing us how to love one another. And another third is about humility and being forgiving of one another and being humble before one another and not being haughty or rude with one another. So I think that you and I have an opportunity every time we're together to live out the one another's. And living out the one another's is how we show our love for God. Living out the one another's horizontally is a way that we show whether we've really been affected by God vertically. You see, it isn't vertical or horizontal. It's both and. It's not either or, it's both and. And you see, as Christians, we sometimes get really good at the either ors of our faith. We think, well, it's this or that. But this is about both and. This is about, yes, you need a vertical relationship with God, and yes, you need a horizontal relationship with one another, and in the society and in the world. It's a both and. And Christians tend to live one way or the other. You know the person who's mostly vertical. And you say, yeah, tell your face. Or when's the last time you poured out your heart in service? When's the last time you signed up for one of those kids' volunteer programs? When's the last time you went outside of your comfort zone because God loves you so much? And we know people that are horizontal. Oh, they know everybody. But their faith is an inch deep. Their relationship with God. And they may love to serve, but sometimes they serve out of wrong motives. And you see, the idea is that We need both all the time. We need that movement from vertical to horizontal and over again, vertical to horizontal. So next time you see a cross, you can ask yourself, how am I doing on the vertical? How am I doing on the horizontal? And am I growing? Do I have new revelations, new scriptural awarenesses of how great God is? How awesome and holy and how small I am, and yet he still loves me and wants to be in relationship with me. And then do I have something inside of me that says, you know what that means? That means I gotta live this thing out somehow horizontally. I gotta serve. I gotta love my wife differently. I gotta get along better with my coworker differently. I've got to be able to stand before that holy God and say, yeah, I love the people you created. And we need to learn over and over how to live and speak and minister from where the vertical and horizontal planes of the cross intersect. A mentor friend of mine said, if a ministry is not first priestly before God, it will not be powerful before men. Sometimes we wonder when we share our faith or when we serve or we go on a mission trip, did God's kingdom really go forward? Did it flourish? Is your ministry first priestly before God? Is it steeped in the reality of who he is and how much he loves you and how great his grace is? Because then I find when I'm in that position, that's when I serve best. That's when I serve from his motives and not my motives. It was working, and it stopped working. So can I get an advance on the slide? There we go. So a mature faith. I found this. If you ever went to business school, you know everything can be solved by a 2x2 grid, right? Everything is about two dimensions. So this is a grid. You may not be able to see it all the way in the back, but it's the idea that there are four quadrants, and I have my vertical relationship with God, and I have my horizontal relationship with God in service to others, my vertical relationship with God. The amount that my heart and my life is being transformed by the awareness of God's working in my heart and life, and then the way that that's being lived out horizontally in my life. And so we end up with something called undeveloped faith down here in the lower left corner. Notice it doesn't say bad faith, wrong faith. It just says undeveloped, undeveloped faith. You don't strongly express your faith by a devotion to serving others or by a life-transforming relationship with God. We go up and we have a vertical faith, a life-transforming relationship with God, but you don't have this consistent devotion to serving others. In the lower right corner, we have horizontal faith. You're consistently devoted to serving others, but don't have a life-transforming relationship with God. And then, of course, what's always known as the magic quadrant, an integrated faith, a life-transforming relationship with God and a consistent devotion to serving others. And what I love about this, I actually have some of these assessments. I printed out 5. If you need more, I'll get them on. I find that sometimes we waste too much paper. So I'll just put those there. There's 5 if you're inclined. There's a survey there that you can take that actually goes into this a little bit deeper. But I think some of the questions that are asked on that survey at the end are really instructive for us. Does your location surprise you? Let's go back to that one here. What factors contribute to the emphasis that you find yourself in? Is it because you've grown up in a family that's mostly vertical, mostly horizontal? Is it because that fits your personality? Is it something that's occurred along your spiritual journey? Is there a woundedness somewhere along the way that you have to address? I like this one. If you had taken this survey 5 years ago, what difference would you find? So something worth asking ourselves is, if I was undeveloped faith 5 years ago, am I moving toward integrated faith? Am I moving at all? Or am I stuck? And maybe if you take this survey again in 5 years, what would you hope to discover? And what can you do today to start moving in that direction? I pray that God, by His Spirit, stirs each of us toward a more integrated faith. Go to the next slide. So, some people have left the church because of one of these emphases or another. Remember, I said Christians tend to live one way or the other. So, there are people that have left the church because they found another organization or another church that emphasizes the horizontal. They have a community focus. But there's a tendency for those churches to ignore the creeds and the confessions, the depth of our faith, the historical reality. And they focus on the horizontal. Sometimes we call this social justice. I just want to feed people and clothe people and go to Bangladesh and do cool things and buy Tom's shoes and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And it's all good, but it can lack the vertical. And you see, when we lack the vertical, then we just become just a club. You can become a club in either one of these, and that's why we need both. But people, when they come into this place, they ought to sense the transcendency of the reality of the vertical. When they come in here, they ought to go, you know, there's something different there. There's something real. There's something powerful. There's something of God inside those people and inside that place. And they believe what they say. But then they should also have this sense of the horizontal. Man, they love each other. And they serve their community. And I think those are the kind of people that I'd like to hang out with. But you see, either extreme fails to image the cross of Christ. And so we need both. And if you think about it, Palm Sunday that we're celebrating today was one of those times where people were getting excited but missing the real message of the cross, right? And everybody was saying, Hosanna, and Jesus was riding in, and everybody was all excited. And they were focused on the vertical. But just a few days later, they realized that there was a rubber meets the road part of this kind of Christianity. And they also missed the very message that Jesus was sending. Is that I've come to bring a new kingdom. I've come to relate in a different way. I've come to show you that neither the horizontal or the vertical by themselves is enough. Yes, I'm the Messiah. Yes, I'm God. Yes, I'm living in your presence. But go and love and serve and make disciples of all nations. For the kingdom has come. The kingdom has come close. And so as we look forward toward Easter, and we think about celebrating the resurrection next Sunday, we must learn to live in the both and of the cross, at the intersection of the vertical and the horizontal. Sanctification with service. Conviction of the heart with compassion toward one another. Prophetic, the truth of God, with the practical, and the image of God with the example of Christ before us. May God make it so in all of our lives. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We acknowledge that we have this tendency to go one way or the other. We acknowledge that sometimes our faith is undeveloped. Sometimes it's vertical, sometimes it's horizontal. And we ask you, God, by your Spirit to work in each of our hearts and lives that we might have a more integrated faith. That we might live out our lives at the intersection of the truth of who you are and the experience of making that real for the people that we're around. Father, I pray that if anything I've said here over the last couple weeks is of you, may it instruct our hearts by your Holy Spirit in the days and weeks ahead. If there's anything that's just been spoken of my opinion or knowledge or man's knowledge, will you blow it away like chaff in the wind? And will you encourage all of us to serve you all the more? In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. And now Todd's going to come forward with our prayers for the morning and our invitation for offering.
Thank you, Larry. As we begin Holy Week and celebrate Palm Sunday and prepare our hearts for communion that we'll have on Good Friday, at our Good Friday service, and then the celebration, obviously, of our Lord and Savior's resurrection on Easter Sunday, I'd like to read first, prior to going into prayer, from John 12, 9 through 19. And leading into this, Jesus had traveled to Bethany. And so it starts in verse 9. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, who he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes to the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all of this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went on to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Please join me in prayer. We come, our Father in heaven, we come before you this morning to thank you and praise you for your mighty works of redemption. You are the great provider and sustainer, and we bring our prayers and petitions before you as you have commanded us to do. We thank you for Crossroads Fellowship, the blessings that you have bestowed on this church and the body of believers. We pray for those you have raised up to serve in the body of this church. We pray for our elders, our deacons, and all those serving on committees, that we will all bow down before you to seek your direction and your will. We especially seek your direction as the Pastor Search Committee continues to do its work. We offer prayers of thanks for those that are giving of their gifts, for the giving of their personal time, and we pray for your continued blessings on the work of this committee, and that in your time you will bring to us the next person to lead and shepherd this flock. Father, we pray for the needs of those in our congregation. We especially think of Tessa Versteeg, who is having surgery in Iowa City tomorrow morning. We pray that you will flood Tessa and Justin and Sherry with a sense of peace, that you will guide the hands and the minds of the surgeons through a successful surgery, and that you will lay your healing hand on Tessa through her recovery. We also pray for those in our congregation that are mourning the loss of loved ones. We ask that you provide your grace and your comfort to Alice and Lydia Feinart as they mourn the loss of a mom and a grandmother, to Kathy Gord and her family and the loss of her grandmother, and to Quan York and the loss of his sister. We think of those that are suffering or recovering from the effects of cancer. We pray for Sandy Mars and Gary Rittman and Bill Renz, Eileen Meyer, LaVon Hammonds. We pray that you relieve the pain that is being experienced by those that are still receiving treatments, that you continue to bless those that are in remission, and in each of these cases that you provide them with what they stand in need of, that you lay your healing hand on them, you restore their health and strength through your continued grace and mercy. We also lift up before you Joan Reichert and Drew Geiser. We pray for their complete healing, that you bless them with a measure of patience as they go through their rehabilitation and their individual roads to recovery. We also pray for Diana McFarlane and Jane Scott-Haas's mom, Marcia Voss, as they recover at home from their recent illnesses. We pray for their continued healing and the gaining of strength. We pray for the elderly in our congregation that are homebound and not able to join us in our worship services. So we lift up before you Sonny Sembrano and Catherine Calamine and Don Reichert. We praise you for answered prayers as they continue progressing on their road to recovery. And we bless them and sustain them through their care. We also offer prayers of praise in the safe return of the safe return in our young people and chaperones from their mission trip to Honduras. We pray for safety for those that are still waiting to travel back. We pray that through your spirit that they were able to do your work, providing benevolent service and the ministry of your word to those they came in contact with. May the impact of their experience and your spirit continue to work through those they touched, and their work in glorifying you will continue in their return home. We also think of the missionaries in Africa, in Mexico, and our church planters in India, the campus ministries in Iowa City and Kearney, Nebraska. Be with each of those leaders, pastors, and missionaries in a special way as they stand in the gap, preaching and teaching Christ and the gospel. Give them your wisdom and authority, protect each of them and encourage them, and shield them from the things of the world that may distract or compromise them. We thank you for bringing Larry to us these past 2 weeks. We ask for your continued blessings on him and his family, that he will continue to be led by your spirit. We pray that Larry's message has been received with open minds and open hearts, and that we accept the challenge and the reminder of the vertical and horizontal dimensions of faith, that we understand these dimensions are not mutually exclusive. Work in each one of us to apply these lessons to our daily lives And through the application of those vertical and horizontal dimensions, that you will be the focus and be glorified through it. Be with each of us as we go into this new week. May Christ be evident in every word and deed. Encourage us and equip us. Forgive us and sanctify us. Strengthen our families and the fellowship of our congregation. Give us perseverance to withstand your trials, the grace to endure your discipline, and the patience and the faithfulness to await your timing when you will make all things new. We thank you and praise you for your love and mercy to your people. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. And I'll ask the praise team to come forward and the deacons for the offering. And today's offering is for freedom for youth.
If you are familiar with this song, please sing along with us. It may be familiar to some of you.
Have some announcements to make?
Yes, we do.
All right.
April 1st and 2nd is a Friday and Saturday, and once again we're going to be hosting the Christian Motorcycle Association rally here at Crossroads. In the friendship folders you will find a sign-up sheet for work schedule and a sign-up sheet for salads and desserts, cookies and bars and things like that. So if you're so moved, please sign up for a brief stint to help our fellow man out and to worship with them and to feed them and join them in fellowship. And that's April 1st and 2nd. The sign-up sheets are in the friendship folders.
Next Sunday, the Connections team will be hosting the annual Easter breakfast. It starts at 8:30 to 9:15. Bring a breakfast item to share. The drink and table service will be provided. Thank you.
I want to show you something. Next Sunday, we're going to have a all-church choir, and I'm going to be here doing this, but we need you, because if you don't come and help, we're going to have this. Whee! Thursday at 7. Thank you.
All right, then I would ask you to stand and receive God's blessing. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Go in the love of God, the strength of our risen Savior, and the power of the Holy Spirit. May we love with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And may we love others as Christ has loved us until we meet again.
All right, and if you're familiar with this song, if you need a little extra room, if there's any of the Sunday school kids that want to come up and do the actions with us on this song, we have sung this song in our church before. Please give them some room. I know they know the actions, but otherwise we're going to go ahead and sing this. If you want to join us too, that'd be great.
Many a dream has died, like a tree planted by the water, we never will run dry. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire, just to know you and to make you know me. Lift your name on high, shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life. It's time for us to more than just to show them who you are. So living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire, just to know you and to make you know me. Lift your name on high, the sun made darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glory. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out on time.
Blessed be, blessed be, blessed be.